Hi, I'm Dr. Gamaverdian from Dental Lounge. Would you like to increase your success, whether it be personal success or career success? Studies have proven that enhancing your smile can enhance your quality of life in every way. I've seen hundreds of patients for porcelain veneers and smile makeovers with amazing results. Simply tap the banner and book your free consultation and I'll be happy to show you. And best of all, ask about our interest-free payment plans. Dental Lounge Macquarie Street. Create success with your smile.
Hey, Brendo, how are you, mate?
Hey, Finny, good to be with you. Another massive night, it seems, and it's been a pretty big week again in footy terms with Rocket Eid getting his marching orders, I guess, at Gold Coast. The first one for the year. I thought for a couple of weeks ago we might have gone through the whole year without a coach sacking, and in the end we didn't quite get there. We fell 3 weeks short, but tough gig to walk into, that Gold Coast gig.
Yeah, Dean Solomon has got 3 weeks to put his imprint on the job, and we'll just see whether or not the players respond to playing under Dean Solomon, because they were pretty listless by the end of Rocket's reign, unfortunately.
Yeah, they were. Interesting to see how many assistant coaches have come out of that all-powerful Essendon team at the start of the 2000s. We've got Blake Carosella's name bobbing up in dispatches for a potential senior position at the moment, and there's been a raft of others as well. Obviously, James Hurd's gone on to coach at senior level. It's proven to be a bit of a good breeding ground for coaches, and Dean Solomon finally gets his opportunity. And I think he'll grab it with both hands. He's on a hiding to nothing, though, in the next couple of weeks. Brisbane this week, massive clash for both teams.
Yeah, I know Brisbane has set themselves for it. We'll have a look at those teams shortly. But time to welcome back Richie Humiston. He's here thanks to Sportsbet. And you can build a multi in the same game of footy with Sportsbet's new same game multi, but always gamble responsibly. Great response to Richie last week with the stats you didn't know, and a lot of them were rung true because we spoke a lot about pre-existing records between clubs, teams that didn't do well against other sides, and it bore fruit on the weekend. How are you, Richie?
Finey, Andy. Ando, thank you very much for having me back. But, well, a few of the stats did get up. I tell you what, a few of us are licking our wounds after our tips last week. Of course, your Western Bulldogs Brisbane tip, Finey, just didn't come to fruition. But I think tonight I've gone through.
I gave a run.
Yeah.
You gave a good run for the money.
11 points up at three-quarter time, and I tipped the Dogs, and I'm thinking, oh, no, I should have listened to Finey.
I think the line was there and a few other, you know, but nevertheless, you can't eat odds.
Correct. I've gone back to the Bible. I've spent I've had my nose in the Bible all week, the Stats Bible, of course, and hopefully we have a bit more luck this week.
Well, let's get stuck into it, because Friday night throws up a game that is not only important for the ladder, but it's also telling for these two clubs who battled it toe-to-toe in last year's preliminary final as the new champs on the block. It's Western Bulldogs taking on the Giants.
League teams for Alan Mads, driving satisfaction since 1978. Call 1-800-ALAN-MADS. The Western Bulldogs. GWS Giants.
It's going to be played at Etihad Stadium on Friday night at 7:50. Anthony Hudson and Matt Granlund, the best called team in town, join forces to bring you the action. Gary Lyon and Danny Frawley will be in special comments. Rowan Connolly on the boundary, as he always is on a Friday night. And in the Super Box, the Melbourne coach, Simon Goodwin. What a great build-up to the game it'll be as the Demons are fighting for their spot in the eight on Sunday. The odds are going to be interesting. Richie, what are they?
Yeah, well, after not very convincing last week, the Dogs, 80% of the money so far in the head-to-head market has been on the Giants, but still not a bad price, $1.76, given the popularity's a little bit of value there. The Dogs, $2.20 earlier this afternoon, a little bit of support this morning, this afternoon, into $2.10 now, boys.
So, they've come for the Doggies. Let's have a listen to the teams and maybe there'll be a clue in the selection of the sides as to why Bulldogs have got some fans. From the back line, please, Brett Anderson.
Shane Biggs, Zane Cordy and Bailey Williams. The halfback line of Robert Murphy, Lewis Young and Matty Suckling. The centre line is Lockie Hunter, Mitch Wallace and Bailey Dale. The half forwards, Toby McLean, Travis Cloke and also Liam Picken. The forward line of Marcus Bontempelli, Jack Redpath and Tory Dixon. The followers for the Bulldogs, Jordan Ruffhead, Tom Liberatore and Jack McRae. The interchange bench of Luke Dalhouse, Jake Stringer, Josh Dunkley and Caleb Daniel. The emergencies are Clay Smith, Fletcher Roberts and Lucas Webb. In comes Tory Dixon, Jake Stringer and Josh Dunkley. Out of the side goes Clay Smith, omitted, Lucas Webb omitted, and Easton Wood has a hamstring issue.
And now these Giants from the back line. Aidan Corr, Nick Haynes, Nathan Wilson. Half-back line, Adam Tomlinson, Phil Davis, Josh Kelly. A centre line, Lockie Whitfield, Dylan Scheel and Heath Shaw. Half-forwards are Britt Deledio, Harrison Himmelberg and Steve Johnson. Forward line, Tom Scully, Jonathan Patton and Callan Ward. Followers are Rory Lobb, Stephen Cornelio and Jacob Hopper. And the interchange, Zach Williams, Matt DeBoer, Toby Green, Matthew Kennedy. The emergencies are Dawson Simpson, Harry Perryman and Daniel Lloyd. In comes Jonathan Patton and Toby Green. And out, Devon Smith with a knee and Shane Mumford suspended. And it's one step forward, one step back, or in this case, two step forward and two steps back for a side that really has just not been able to get the best team on the field. We thought last week, okay, the players are coming back, and then Mummy gets himself suspended with a silly drive-by on Maxi Gawn. Devon Smith, sore knee, and again, it's ins and outs.
It is. It's probably a game, though, when you lose the ruckman, that you shouldn't get hurt too much against the Bulldogs, while Jordan Ruffhead is an adequate ruckman. He's not going to sit there and
getting hurt. Mummy is talismanic. He is. He's a dominant figure. When the game is in the balance, he stands up. He delivers in many different forms. So it's not getting hurt. It's about not being able to hurt them.
He is. But I thought last week that Max Gawn certainly had the better of him in that ruck contest. Although the Demons didn't win the game, GWS were clearly the better side overall.
Well, if he plays tomorrow night, then you'll be spot on. But he would have taken Ruffhead to the cleaners, I reckon.
Mm. Who's that? Mumford?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't mind Ruffhead as an honest battler. Oh, not an honest battler, but an honest ruckman who can give a little bit around the ground. But certainly with the physicality, I think that is important from a GWS point of view. Having seen the Giants last week, that 15 minutes of footy they played in the first quarter was better than anyone else's this year, including Adelaide. It was unbelievable rebound stuff, back to the stuff that we've seen from them in the past with that, I guess the term has been the tsunami of ball movement off half-back and players continuing to get free, and if you allow them to run forward to the footy, they will cut you up, and we saw that last week for 15 minutes, and it was good enough for them to win a game against a team vying for a spot in the top eight who had their measure in their previous two outings. For the Bulldogs, they were really up the creek without a paddle, weren't they, at three-quarter time? They were two goals behind in Brisbane against the Wooden Spooner, and it was really one man who I thought stood up in that final term and said, we ain't losing this game, and our finals and our season isn't ending today, and that was Marcus Bontempelli. How they use him is going to be really fascinating. Again, they used him forward last week, and that was where he had the greatest impact in the final term, so does he do that this week against the GWS side? But they have got some strong ins when you look at Jake Stringer and also Tory Dixon coming back into that forward line. So you might see Bont released back into the midfield with a bit more goal-kicking power brought back into the side. So, look, I think based on everything we've seen, the interesting part is GWS have lost both their games at Etihad this year. So by 1 point and by 23 points. Last year they won all three, but they have struggled there a touch this year. I think based on what I saw last week, it's really hard to tip against GWS because, as I said, the Bulldogs struggled at times against the team that is bottom on the ladder. I'm going to go for the Giants in this one. But the Dogs, based on what they did last year in the final series, will take a lot of confidence into it.
Interestingly, being favourite in this game might not be the best thing for the Giants, and recent encounters certainly bear out that fact, Richie.
Yeah, well, it's the Giants. They're 2-5 against the line in the seven contest down at Etihad Stadium. As Andrew was saying, they haven't been going there that well this year. But one person who, I guess for the underdogs, Luke Dalhouse, always has an absolute day out against him. His last four outings against the Giants, he's averaging 27. Well, he's had 27 or more disposals in four games. So he has a good day out. 30 touches or more at Sportsbet. You'll get that at $4, Finey.
That's interesting. He hasn't been punishing this year, Dalhouse.
No, he has been quiet.
I thought his start to the year was pretty good, and he's tailed off a touch and probably hasn't been as damaging, but I thought he was pretty good early on.
He just hasn't. Unfortunately for Luke, he's not been able to do what at his devastating best. He's forward-kicking goals, rolling into the midfield and adding to the mix, and it's been a bit hollow. The possessions have been there and the endeavour's been there, but he hasn't hit the scoreboard as he has in previous years, and he hasn't really quite seemingly had the stamina to go in the midfield and help out when they've been needed. But he does get his touches and he does make a contribution. And as the Doggies get better, Dalhouse will get better.
Just off the SMS, no Jason Johannesson again this week for the Bulldogs. How much do you think that impacts against the side? Obviously, where speed is important, GWS very quick when it comes to ball movement on the outside. How much does his loss or his departure from the side impact what the Bulldogs are going to be able to do game style-wise against GWS?
Well, the beauty is they lose Easton Wood and Johannesson off the half-back line. You'd think that'd cruel most clubs, but this team has so many half-back flank options.
It's not an area that they struggle in. That's where their depth is. I guess if you're looking at an NFL-style depth chart, you'd have magnets piled up at half-back, and there'd be some other areas that would be a bit shallow, but certainly they don't struggle for depth at half-back.
I guess Jonathan Patton will cause some concern. I mean, he's a big hombre. Too big for Lewis Young. Zane Cordy will have to man him up and he'll
battle.
He'll have his hands.
How much weight would he give up on him?
Correct. I mean, that is the problem that the Doggies have now and for the rest of the season.
He was good 2 weeks ago when he, I think he did a pretty good job on Joe Danaher late in that game and was pretty influential. So he has done it in recent times, but it's a big task for four quarters.
It is. Obviously, no Jeremy Cameron. So there's still a forward line.
There's still some talent out, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a forward line there that, as it reads, with Harrison Himmelberg, and Deledio was feeling for form last week.
The smaller forward line really worked for them last week in the windy conditions. Obviously, under the roof, it's going to be a little bit different. But we're seeing more and more teams do away with that second key forward. Richmond have done it amazingly this year, even with no key forwards the last couple of weeks. GWS, that might have been the thing that they've found that has worked. That might have been the tick with that pressure. 120-odd tackles, I think it was, last week, and it was De Boer. It was their half-forwards who came up and put pressure on. With all the talls, that's where they've struggled.
And that's a pity that Devon Smith is out, because he was a bit different last week. 11 tackles, which
it was good.
Not like Devon. 9 possessions, but 2 of them goals in the third quarter.
Quiet first half, and his third quarter was huge.
They'll miss him.
How much of an adjustment will it be if, say, finals time you've got Patton and Cameron, and they haven't played with two forwards for the better part of the year? Is that going to be a big adjustment for them to go back to that style? Or
it will be interesting to see how it plays out, especially first final. You would think you need them in the side, but
they've played together for most of the season. I mean, it's only in the last month that they haven't played together.
It is a luxury to feed back in if it is Jeremy Cameron, a 40 to 50 goal kicker into your forward line for a finals campaign. I don't think any team would sit there and say, no, you know what, we're not going to have him in the side.
The big question is whether or not when Mumford comes back and Cameron and Patton are there, whether you can play Rory Lobb in that forward line becomes a question mark.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to go for the Bulldogs. Look, the reason I was reticent about tipping them last week, I wasn't sure about their forward line, but the return of Jake Stringer and Tory Dixon read well for me, and I'm just concerned that the GWS Giants are finding it so hard to put together a consistent 22. And you know what? Brett Deledio, I'm not quite sure if he's right yet. Johnson was okay last week, but those weeks aren't that consistent. I have a look at their team and I know it's not their best team, and I think the players might know it as well. I'm going to tip the Doggies under the roof at Etihad.
I'm going to go with GWS. I just think the key is Steve Canelio has brought so much since he's come back into that team
that's
in
a
midfield.
Good point.
He's been such a, I guess, not a spark plug, but he's been the starter, the driver.
He's
for
been best on ground both games.
He's been fantastic. His goal off the left foot, banana in the forward pocket last week, was amazing to get the ball rolling from them. But also, Josh Kelly's ability to push forward into space and kick goals. He's been playing more forward. That's a challenging matchup when you've got a bloke who can play through midfield and then go and sit forward. As the Dogs have done with Marcus Bonapelli, we're seeing more goal-kicking threat coming out of Josh Kelly. I just think they've got slightly too much quality still overall, but I expect the Dogs to take it right up to them.
I do love the way the Dogs were offensive and scored heavily at Etihad last time there against Essendon. That encourages me. Because
everyone scores against Essendon, though. That's the only thing. We did speak about that leading up to that game.
Yeah, but GWS do have a similar attacking bent, and there just might be openings again for the Doggies to bounce on rebound, and I just think they might be able to kick a winning score. How do you read it, Richard?
I was a bit alarmed. I'm a bit wary of the Dogs after last week, so I'm going to go with the punters and with Anno GWS. I just think they're going to be too strong, especially with Pat and Toby Green as well. I mean, they've just another All Australian straight in, so I think the GWS should do it pretty easily.
Let's move on and have a look at Sydney versus the Fremantle Dockers.
League teams for Alan Mance, driving satisfaction since 1978. Call 1-800 Alan Mance. The Sydney Swans. Fremantle.
Sydney take on the pretty honest Fremantle Dockers, actually, Saturday afternoon at the SCG. We're going to send Kevin Bartlett and Mick Granlund there. Mick Malthouse will join them for special comments, and I imagine the odds strongly suggest a Swans win. What are they, Richie, through Sportsbet?
I cannot with a clear conscience make a case for Fremantle at all. Sydney, $1.09. Better than bank interest, money for old rope, that. Fremantle, you can just about write your own ticket. $8 now. We've taken 98% of the cash has been on the Swans, so I think there's about one Fremantle punter out there.
Look, it's a two-horse race, isn't it?
Yeah. But
Did you see Albion Park this week?
It's the two-horse race and one horse got one leg.
Did you see Albion Park this week?
No.
All right. There was a race number one at Albion Park. It was a two-horse race in a size event for youngsters, two-year-olds.
Yep.
There was a 100-1 pop and a 33-1 pop and the 100-1 on pop.
Yep.
So a horse was 100-1 on and it got beaten.
No. Well, yeah, strange things have happened. It's just not going to happen at the SCG on Saturday.
Sounds like something that I'd back.
Here are the teams. Sydney Swans from the back line. Dane Rampey, Heath Grundy, Nick Smith, halfback Callum Mills, Lewis Melican, Jared McVeigh. Centre line of Isaac Heaney, Luke Parker and Jake Lloyd. Half forward line, George Hewitt, Lance Franklin, Dean Towers. Forward line of Sam Reed, Kurt Tippett, Tom Papley. The followers are Callum Sinclair, Dan Hennebury and Kieran Jack. Interchange, Will Hayward, Zach Jones, Nick Newman, Gary Rowan. The emergencies are Jordan Foote, Jeremy Laidler and Daniel Robinson. If the team sounds familiar, it should, because it's the same as the one that beat Geelong last week.
The Fremantle team reads as follows. Ethan Hughes, Joel Hamling and Luke Ryan, the rising star from last round. The halfback line of Griffin Logue, Michael Johnson and Stephen Hill. The centres, Lockie Weller, Lockie Neal and Bradley Hill. The half-forward line of Shane Kirsten, Cam McCarthy and Nick Subin. The forward line is Hayden Ballantyne, Nat Fyfe and Brennan Cox. The followers, Sean Darcy, Cameron Sutcliffe and David Mundy. The interchange bench of Darcy Tucker, Matt Tabiner, Daniel Pearce and Josh DeLuca. The emergencies are Garrick Ibbotson, Jonathan Griffin and Sam Collins. In comes Darcy, Tabiner and also DeLuca. Out goes Hayden Crozier with concussion, Jonathan Griffin omitted and Brady Gray with a hamstring.
Well, this game, despite the evidence I gave of a 100-1 on pop being beaten at the harness racing, unfortunately for Fremantle Dockers, they're not a harness horse. They're coming up against the Sydney Swans, who at home, look, Fremantle have been really honest for much of the season, certainly in the away game against GWS. So their last trip to Sydney, they were excellent and they were in it up to their beaks right until the, 5 minutes to go, basically. They were right in that game and they were given no chance. They're given no chance, but this time against a more professional outfit who will dot the I's and cross the T's, and there'll be nothing fancy about what Sydney does to Fremantle unless they bust them open and then they can get a bit expansive. Interesting to see whether or not Buddy Franklin can hit some form because he's lost it in the last couple of weeks. And, you know, that team just functioned really well against the Cats on the weekend. Last weekend, Callum Sinclair's moving very nicely in ruck or up forward. Tippett actually gave them something. They were not too top-heavy because at the drop of the ball, Kieran Jack, Papley, just were dynamite. Of course, Luke Parker was magnificent, best on ground. And there were many, many options. They still wait for the return of Josh Kennedy. But against Freo, Fyfe is playing good football again. Darcy is a big improvement on Jonathan Griffin, even though he's played one-tenth the games. They'll give an account of themselves, I'm sure. But Sydney with the comfort, not of the margin, but of the control of the game from word go, I think.
It was impressive last week, considering that Buddy Franklin didn't have a great impact on the game, taken out of the game by Tom Lonergan, and they still found a way to win against a good side down in what is tough territory to win at Simmons Stadium. You just think, you look at the team on paper, you look at the form in recent times, and whilst Fremantle, as you mentioned, have been pretty honest, they're just going to be too good in this game overall. I mentioned Luke Ryan before. I'd love to know and speak to Nigel Cummett in the VFL Hour. He got cut from the Essendon VFL team at the start of last year. Wowee. That was an interesting call, considering where he went to in the season last year in the VFL with Coburg and what he's shown at AFL level so far this year. He's been a fantastic pickup and one who hopefully is a 200-gamer for the Dockers. But look, Sydney for me and quite comfortably in the end.
Anything interesting in the hidden stats here, Richie?
There is one because, I mean, let's be honest, everyone's going to back Sydney, but there's not a lot of value there at $1.09. So you're going to have to look for value. And where I reckon you go is in the total match points, a very popular market. Now, I want the punters to take the unders. The unders is set at 171 points. So you've got it in a total match points of under 170 points. Now, and this is why four of the last five matches between Sydney and Fremantle and the last five games at the SCG have all been unders. So they're not kicking high scores, and Sydney and Fremantle are not kicking high scores. So take the unders. You'll get that at $1.90, and it's 171.5 points.
Yeah. Hmm.
I don't know what the weather's doing, actually.
Yeah.
I haven't looked at the weather yet.
Sydney weather. Who
you knows? Should always
It'll
look
rain.
At the weather.
Generally, Sydney, it rains, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, when it rains, it really rains. They don't get just the annoying sleet
that
we get
here. That's
what
they used to say about us, wasn't it? It always, oh, it rained in Melbourne. It rains in Sydney all the time now.
I mean, I tend to agree with the SMS just through. They might not ever get more than five or six goals up. They may, but they'll control the game, and that will seem...
Do what they need to.
Yeah. Forecast mostly sunny and 21 in Sydney. Ooh. So they don't play a lot.
Scratch that. I'm going to Sydney for the weekend.
Well, they don't play a lot of these Saturday afternoon games.
No, I was trying to think when the last one
so
was.
So it's a little bit of a different dynamic. Just keep an eye on that. And the weather is forecast to be very nice. In
That's a lovely. That is a lovely Saturday.
That is a nice Saturday. Send almost, that our way.
Almost Melbourne like. I wish. Well, we're going to take a break, come back, more league teams and. Geelong hosting Richmond when we return.
League teams for Alan Mance, driving satisfaction since 1978. Call 1-800 Alan Mance. Geelong.
We are Geelong, the greatest team of all. We are Geelong, we're always on the ball.
Richmond.
We're from Tigerland, a fighting fury. We're from Tigerland.
Well, Saturday afternoon. Traditional start time, 2:10, traditional ground, Simmons Stadium, the old Cardinia Park. And the Cats, who've had ownership over Richmond to just about almost since 2008 and since 2007, I should say. And boy, here's a chance for sweet revenge for the Tigers, maybe. Let's hear this Cats team from the back line with, we know, some key outs.
Geelong reads as follows. Tom Stewart, Tom Lonergan and Jake Colajasny. The halfback line of Jed Buse, Lockie Henderson and Zach Tui. The centre line is Andrew Mackie, Paddy Dangerfield and Jordan Murdoch. The half forwards of Stephen Motlop, Reece Stanley and Cam Guthrie. The forward line is Dan Menzel, Harry Taylor and James Parsons. The followers, Zach Smith, Scott Selwood and also Sam Menegola. The interchange bench is Zach Guthrie, Brandon Parfitt, Sam Simpson and also Jackson Thurlow. The emergencies are Wiley Buzzard, Jordan Cunico and Jack Henry. The ins are Dangerfield, Motlop, Stanley and Menzel. Four outstanding ins. And out goes Selwood with an ankle injury, Duncan suspended, Buzzer omitted and Hawkins suspended. Three massive outs.
And the Tigers, from back to front, Nathan Broad, Alex Rance, Dylan Grimes, halfback line Brandon Ellis, David Asprey, Nick Floston. Centre line, Camden McIntosh, Trent Cox and Sean Grigg. Half forwards are Kane Lambert, Shane Edwards in his traditional lineup position of centre forward and Ivan Soldo. Forwards are Josh Caddy, Jack Rewalt and Daniel Rioli. The ruck division of Toby Nankervis, Dustin Martin and Dion Prestia. Interchange, Bashar Hawley, Corey Ellis, Jason Castagna and Dan Butler. The emergencies are Jaden Short, Jack Graham and Anthony Miles. In comes one-eyed Jack Rewalt. With both eyes working, they tell us, and out goes Anthony Miles omitted. Richie Humiston from Sportsbet, what are the odds?
Yeah, well, no surprise that Tigers fans can't get a seat down there, given that most of the Geelong side would be sitting in the crowd. But Tigers haven't beaten the Cats since 2007. You'd think this would have to be their best chance. $1.64, the punters, 75% of the cash with the Tigers. The Cats drifting out to $2.30.
Brett, I'll give you first crack at what is the Tigers' big chance to consolidate a top four spot and to really continue growing in everybody's estimation, including their own, most importantly.
I tipped Hawthorn last week against Richmond with Jack Riewoldt out, but I'm now sold on Richmond and what they can do this year. And it's not just because of the outs for Geelong in this game. It's the system works. Everything is working in unison. The game plan that they're playing, and everyone is playing their role perfectly. And I think they're going to go down the highway and do that exact same thing. Treat it like an interstate trip and going into enemy territory in some ways and coming back with the points. I think it's great to galvanise a group when you go into hostile environments like that and have victories. And I just think based on the team that they've got at the moment, and you don't sit there and say, you know what, they're filled with stars. No, they're not. They've got some superstars, absolutely, but they've got some guys playing amazing roles, and there's just too many outs for that Geelong side. Paddy Dangerfield obviously comes back in and is huge, and hopefully Stephen Motlop can start to find his best form, because that's really important, and Menzel as well. But I just think the way that Richmond are playing, it's going to be far too tough for Geelong in this one, and the Tigers will make a charge towards the top two.
I'm tipping the Cats. The Richmond forward line, the Richmond system is based on speed and space. Speed and space works beautifully.
You don't think there's much down there?
It's a narrow ground. Look, it's a long ground, but it is a narrow ground. And players just get closed down pretty quickly at that ground when Geelong are on the money. And even last week, even though the Swans absolutely defeated them, a lot of that great work was still in the phone box. You know, that goal by Luke Parker, Tom Papley, it was tight work. Now, if Richmond are good enough and their small forwards good enough to get a result under those conditions, well, I dips my lid to them. But I think that just given that we're expecting a bit of rain over the weekend,
which is what they love, Tigers.
In space. It's not a ground with deep pockets. As I said, it's a long ground. But it's not a ground, generally, in the history of the Geelong Football Club, where small forwards have been able to run rampant down there because of the nature of the way they play. Now, look, if Geelong do not get through Paddy Dangerfield ownership of the ball in the middle, nothing will help them. Thin ground, wide ground, and they'll just get done like a dinner because they've got a pretty tall back line. But it's all about whether or not they can set up well. If it gets in there quickly, Richmond will beat them. But I think with Paddy Dangerfield back, I just think that there's been a lot of talk about how they're going to struggle this week. The last time they had a lot of players out, it was against GWS. They were given no chance, and they got a great draw with young kids.
Good point.
I think backs against the wall, Geelong at home, against a team that they have beaten up on, and I really think that does ring true, and eventually it'll be broken, but I don't think it's this week. I'm tipping the Cats.
I've got some concerns over the firepower up forward. You've got Hawkins out. You've got Dangerfield, who's kicked the second most goals for him. He's not going to be able to spend nearly as much time down there with Selwood out.
Yeah, and Duncan out too, so he needs to go through midfield.
I'm not sure who's going to be there to kick the goals for them. It's certainly where... Why I'm going to tip the
Tigers. It'll have to be Paddy again.
Well, it's got to be Paddy, but he's going to have to do more of his work in midfield. You're talking about the wet weather games before. I think actually when Richmond's been at their best, you talk about space, absolutely, but most wet weather games, obviously you have to win it in tight first and then get it into space. And Richmond, I've just thought against them for a lot this year, and each time they've proven me wrong, and I think I learnt my lesson last week, and I'm not going to get bitten this week, so I'm going to go with the Tigers.
I'll return to Richmond just when they leave this ground, but I just think... backs against the wall, Geelong on their home turf.
And you know what? They've earned that respect too over a long, long time. This Richmond team, though, seems to be hell-bent on making their own history this year and, I guess, proving a lot of us in there, out in the media and, I guess, in supporter groups all over the place, waiting for them to fall over. They keep proving us wrong, and eventually we've all got to sit there and realise, hey, they're a bloody good side, and jump on board.
Off the SMS, and these were received within 11 seconds of each other. You're a smart man, Finey. Then...
from a man in Geelong.
And then from a man in Richmond, your worst tip of the year.
You got to love it, don't you?
It's only a tip. That's all it is. We know the prehistory. They just can't...
They play Menzel deep, maybe. Menzel plays deep out of the square.
The hope is that Menzel... Look, the ball really needs to get to Menzel. Menzel doesn't really get to the ball. But if the ball gets to Menzel, he's a bit of a wizard. And I don't expect much from Stephen Motlop.
Hey, will Dangerfield see any bench time then? Because if we're going to have, you've got to have him up forward. You've got to have him in the middle. I think this is going to run out of stock.
Put him out there.
Yeah, you know what? It's time for Cameron Guthrie to play a bit better. It's definitely time for Murdoch to lift. These guys have hid behind the coattails of...
Zach Tui a bit down last week too, ready to bounce back after a down game?
Yeah, yep. Look, I mean, they were down last week, no question about it. I like Tom Stewart marshalling in the back line.
Yep.
So I trust him a bit. You know, no disrespect to Richmond. I'll happily jump back on you when you get back from Geelong, but I just fear these Cats and respect them backed up against the wall. Let's move on. Brisbane v Gold Coast.
League teams for Alan Mans, driving satisfaction since 1978. Call 1-800-ALAN-MANS. The Brisbane Lions. The Gold Coast Suns.
We are the Suns of the Gold Coast Sky. We are one in the red, gold, blue.
This game is to be played on a Sunday afternoon. Benny Jones and Brent Staker will call the game. It starts at 4:30. It is called the Q Clash, but I don't think there'll be a huge queue to get in to see it. The Lions have set themselves for this game, and Gold Coast have obviously made a statement during the week. Brisbane, let's go from the back line, please. Brett Anderson.
Daniel McStay, Harris Andrews and Daniel Rich, the halfback line of Darcy Gardner, Josh Walker and Sam Mays. The centre line reads Hugh McCluggage, Dane Zorko and Ryan Bastanac. The half forward line is Lewis Taylor, Michael Close and Jared Berry. The forward line, Ryan Lester, Eric Hipwood and Jake Barrett. The followers, Stephen Martin, Tom Rockliffe and Dane Beams. The interchange bench of Nick Robertson, Cedric Cox, Reece Matheson and Jacob Allison. The emergencies are Ben Keys, Clay Beams and Archie Smith. In comes Sam Mays and Michael Close. Out goes Josh Shackey, omitted, and also Alex Witherden with a hamstring injury. He's been in great form, Alex Witherden, and that is a blow.
I thought Cox got injured last week. But anyway.
So did I when I was reading it out, and I thought, they've named him. Interesting.
Gold Coast from the back line, Jared Harbrow, Stephen May, Max Spencer. Halfbacks, Jesse Joyce, Trent McKenzie, Adam Saar. Centre line of Piers Hanley, Aaron Hall and Matt Rosa. Half forward line, Jared Lyons, Jack Martin, Sean Lemons. The forwards are Darcy McPherson, Peter Wright, Ben Ainsworth. The ruckman is Daniel Curry. Took Miller and David Swallow accompany him. Interchange, Alex Sexton, Callum Archie, Josh Schoenfeld and Jack Scrimshaw. The emergencies, Mitch Hallahan, Jack Bowes and Keegan Brooksby. In, Jared Lyons, Ben Ainsworth, David Swallow and Callum Archie out. Big Tommy Lynch.
He's the most important players.
Gary Ablett with a hamstring. And then the two big ones, Jared Grant and Mitch Hallahan.
That's it for Mitch Hallahan.
That's it for Jared Grant.
Jared Grant too.
Goes without saying.
Anyhow, look, I mean, the new coach has obviously said we're not going to go with the older players. So, no, Hallahan was in their best last week. So he tried his hardest. I mean, it wasn't a great best, but he was probably in their five best players. Tell you what, Josh Shackey, he got more of the ball last week than he's ever had before, and that was worse than when he doesn't get it. Gee, he did some terrible things last week. He was dropping it and hand-passing it to people not ready for it, and up on the wing, running into people.
He's a work in progress. It's just going to take some time with Josh, and whether that's at Brisbane or elsewhere in the future, who knows?
Eric Hipwood was poor in the last quarter, galloping around, dropping marks and pointing his fingers at people. They could have won.
He did do that a little bit. I heard you on Sunday. I'm glad you actually picked that up on the weekend, because I was watching that and thought the exact same thing. And when you brought it up, I thought, geez, I'm glad someone else saw that too.
Who was he blaming? It was all...
Jared Berry was the first one who he blamed, where the handball went slightly out in front of him. And then there was a kick inside 50 where I think it went over his head and he wanted it in front of him.
He had every chance to mark it and kick an important goal, but he had the sulks on.
Great young kid, Eric. He just needs to get that out of his game. And I'm sure Chris Fagan will help him with that stuff. Fags is fantastic in that regard. Look, you just think, based on what they served up against a pretty good side last week, that the Lions have really set themselves, and we spoke about this last week, finally you brought it up, that they should be too good for their neighbours or their close counterparts here. And those two outs, Smith, Lynch and also Ablett, are massive for...
There's a bigger out.
Gold Coast in that regard. Well, it's not bigger. Jared Grant, surely.
No, from the week coach. From the week before, Jared Witts. I mean, he has...
Yeah, massive, absolutely.
He's carried them around on his shoulders. Stephen Martin.
Now, what a great acquisition, though, Jared Witts has been. A lot of stuff has gone wrong, but that is a fantastic addition from the guys up there.
Real season full of character for Witsy, and pity that he couldn't see it to the line, but he's sorely missed. I tell you what, you want to see two good goals? Have a look what Ryan Bastanek did in the last quarter last week.
He's a good
week.
Finisher, Ryan Bastanek. He doesn't miss many.
It was beautiful. One from distance and one from on the side. And the one he kicked around the body was from a mark that was almost freaky. I thought he was spoiling it. Next thing, he gloved it. Is there anything, Richie, that we can take away from the result, maybe, to look at in this game? Because they are a curious pair of teams.
Yeah, they are. And normally what happens when a side gets rid of their coach, you get a lot of money coming in for that side. It's always been the way. For whatever reason, well, not for whatever reason, you probably know why no one's supporting the Suns, but we had a flood of cash come in for Brisbane as soon as it happened. So they were $1.75 when they fired Rocket from Metricon. Now into $1.55. Gold Coast $2.10 to $2.50. But what I like, again, I'm always harping on about these totals, because you can rely on stats, you can very easy on the total match points. They're normally pretty high scoring games, the Q Clashes. Yep. They kick a lot of goals, not a lot of defense. So it's set at 197.5 points, which is on the higher end of the scale you'll see. But I'm pretty confident that's going to get in. I have just looked at the weather; it's going to be beautiful. It always
is. Like 29 degrees.
Yeah. How's that for the tail end of winter? 29 degrees, not a cloud in the sky, perfect conditions. I don't mind the overs at $1.90.
Lions for me, very simply, in this one. I think Pierce Hanley, though, would be really keen to have a big outing. Back on his old home ground at the Gabba against his former club. It's probably one who hasn't had a great year for a variety of reasons, and I'm sure he'd be liking to put his best foot forward here. But I think the Lions, do they win and get off the bottom with a victory in this one?
Well, if they win...
Does that get them off?
They're 9% behind Carlton. They'd need to win by...
So they're a game in 9%.
Yeah, 200 points. But they start to make a move at Carlton and North. If Carlton and North don't win. This Gold Coast team, Harbrow, Saad, McKenzie, Hanley, Hall.
Still Rose. Got some talent.
No, they just all run forward. They just run with the forward, with the ball, jog back. You know, Martin.
That's where the overs come in.
This is, unfortunately, a team that is desperately looking for a new beginning, and that won't start till next year. Brisbane... They've been really fun to watch for Brisbane fans because there's development every week. No, clearly Brisbane in this one.
Brisbane for mine.
Lions.
An ad break, and when we come back, we're heading back to Etihad on Saturday night for the Bombers and the Crows.
League teams for Alan Mance, driving satisfaction since 1978. Call 1-800-ALAN-MANCE. Essendon.
See the Bombers fly up, up to win the premiership.
Adelaide.
The pride of South Australia, where the mighty Adelaide grows.
It is Saturday night at Etihad Stadium when the top of the table Crows come to town to take on the Bombers, who are in need of wins to guarantee, well, to keep their spot in the eight because they're under siege. Three teams behind them, all just on percentage. Essendon versus Adelaide should be an absolute ripper. Let's hear this Essendon team, Brad.
From the back line, it's Andy McGrath, Matt Dee and James Kelly. The halfback line of Brendan Goddard, Michael Hurley and Paddy Ambrose. The centre line is Darcy Parrish, Joe Watson and Dyson Heppel. The half forward line of Anthony McDonald, Tipung Woody, Cale Hooker and also Trav Collier. The forward line, Jaden Laverty, Joe Danaher and James Stewart. The followers are Matty Leuenberger, David Zaharakis, Ben Howlett and the interchange bench, Marty Gleeson, Josh Green, David Myers and Connor McKenna. The emergencies are Mark Bagley, Josh Begley and also Craig Bird. In comes McGrath, D, Kelly, Laverty and also Leuenberger. Out, Tom Bailchambers with a foot injury. Michael Hartley omitted. Zach Merritt suspended. Orazio Fantasia with a hamstring. And Mark Bagley rested but is an emergency.
Adelaide Crows, Jake Kelly, Daniel Talia and Jake Lever. Backline, half-back line is Luke Brown, Alex Keith and Rory Laird. Centreline, Brodie Smith, Matt Crouch, Rory Sloan. Half-forwards are Tom Lynch, Taylor Walker and Eddie Betts. Forwards, Charlie Cameron, Josh Jenkins, Riley Knight. Ruck division are Sam Jacobs, Brad Crouch, Richard Douglas, and the interchange, David McKay, Hugh Greenwood, Rory Atkins, Mitch McGovern. The emergencies are Harrison Wigg, Paul Seedsman, Wayne Miller. No change. The odds, please. Richie Humiston.
Yeah, hard to make a case, I think, for the Bombers, given the outs. And then, of course, the form of Adelaide. The punters expressing a lot of caution with the Bombers. $3.05 for Essendon. The Crows, $1.39.
Yeah, Sportsbet, I think, have got it pretty right there. Look, this game, was going to be a challenge for the Bombers because Adelaide Crows are just playing really good football and they have seemingly taken out the... Look, it's still there. They were 50 points down against Collingwood. They conceded 10 goals to Norton a quarter against North. They have their moments of inattention, but they came back against the Pies, not once but twice, to get a draw. And back on home soil against Port Adelaide, they got into their pulverising best form. Essendon seemed to know only one way, and that is to try and get the ball down that corridor, quick hands, and it is, at the moment, it's all duck, no dinner. What's the expression?
All duck, no dinner.
Yeah, so it's either all good or pain back the other way. And if any team is going to get you back the other way, it's the Crows with hard-running Tom Lynch off the half-forward flank, Taylor Walker and Josh Jenkins working into good duo form. Eddie Betts back after the removal of an appendix looks smart. Yeah, look, for the Bombers, they couldn't pick a worse night to be without Zach Merritt, yep, their best player. Tom Bell Chambers, he needed to go up against the best ruckman in the comp. That's what Sam Jacobs is after thrashing Paddy Ryder.
Fantasia, yeah, a massive out.
Fantasia's a huge out. And you know what? It's going to be... Oh, gee, I reckon Michael Hartley's stiff to get omitted, isn't he? Matt
probably D's, a week that they needed Michael Hartley too when you look at that forward line.
Matt D's probably a similar proposition. You know, we've asked about the sort of legs of James Kelly, who's been rested, and Goddard and Watson, the now retiring Watson. And yeah, I just fear that they are going to be taken from the midfield and never be able to get that machine into action. Of course, if they do, they've got some beautiful options up forward. Hooker, if he kicks straight, would have had a great week last week. Danaher's in just, he's not in career best form. He's in form that will shape his career because he's a ripper. Yeah, this is the wrong week to have those outs. Adelaide for mine.
Leuenberger's in big strife, isn't he?
He needs to show a bit, I would have thought, in the next couple of weeks to really push for a longer stay at the footy club. Just very quickly, I would have thought they would have been walking into a mugging here very quickly, Adelaide, if Essendon had their full allotment of players on board. But with Fantasia out and also Hartley, but also Merritt, they're to three big outs, I think. And Bagley rested is an interesting one from that point of view, because the Bombers on a Saturday night at Etihad, when everyone's up and about, geez, it can be a dangerous place, especially if they can try and further cement a final spot. But having said that, those outs make so much of a difference. The Crows in super, super form. Their last two games at Etihad against the Bombers have been pretty good. 112-point win back when, obviously, when the Bombers had a few players out. But then a 9-point loss where they came from six goals down at quarter time. So their form there against Essendon has been okay. I think they win the game and they put up one firm grip on the minor premiership.
A quick stat before we get to the news.
We're going to go a possession bet. We haven't had one yet tonight. Rory Laird absolutely loves the Bombers. He dominates. He cleans up every time. 30-plus disposals in his last three games against the Bombers. 30 touches to repeat the dose on Saturday will get you $1.91. That's where my cash is going to go on the weekend, gentlemen.
I know how you can save some cash. Come here from 12 o'clock tomorrow because a Friday is pie day thanks to Routley's Bakery, and they are beautiful pies right through till grand final every Friday. Doesn't matter who you are, drop in, and from noon, free pies till they're gone. And I tell you what, once you taste them, you'll be back every Friday. Routley's, a bloody good pie. We're going to take a break. When we come back, the pies will be on the menu as one of the teams still to be assessed on league teams.
On 1116 SEN, Nigel Carmody for Squires Loft Essendon, the steak specialists.
Bringing feed, Squires Loft in Essendon, 131 Buckley Street. And you've also got Greenfields, another concern for the management there, and that is at Albert Park Golf Course. If you're thinking of a function, whether it be a wedding, maybe Brett Anderson's funeral as he coughs his way. No, he's okay, Brett, eh?
I had the button off.
Oh, I heard it. whatever the function is, actually, it's a beautiful venue, and of course, located right on the golf course, you can have a hit, come in and have a party. How are you, Nige?
Good, fine. You're looking very Tony Pulis tonight. Sort of got the the tracksuit top on, just in
not ready to ready for the start. Tony generally gets sacked every 3 months.
I should have the MF on it, shouldn't I? That's the go for the English managers, isn't it?
There's the big MF on the back.
But I'm not sitting in a one of those racing car seats. That's the ultimate sign of English.
Is it the Recaro seat?
Recaro,
yeah. You're sort of a top six club if you've got enough sponsorships that you can divide it down to having a car seat sponsor.
Or you could just be Harry Redknapp and do your dealings out the side of the car window.
But I'm good. Going well.
That's a different code for a discussion maybe at a different time, because we've got to get stuck into the second half of league teams, and we'll do it Saturday night at Domain Stadium. The Eagles take on the visiting Carlton Football Club.
League teams for Alan Mance, driving satisfaction since 1978. Call 1-800-ALAN-MANCE. The West Coast Eagles.
West Coast Eagles. And we're here to show you why.
Carlton.
Saturday night at Domain Stadium, Mark Doran calling the action, Darren Gaspar special comments, and ins and outs, please, Nigel Carmody, for both teams, that'll suffice.
Ins for the West Coast Eagles are Matt Prittis, Lewis Jetta and Nathan Vardy. The outs, Malcolm Carpany, Chris Marston and Will Schofield, all omitted for the Blues. Ins, Tom Williamson, out Caleb Marchbank with an arm.
Now the odds, which I'm sure Sportsbet will give us, probably indicate a strong leaning towards the home team.
They do. The punters do not want a bar of the Blues, and this is why. Now, this is my favourite stat that I've uncovered in the short 2 weeks I've been coming in here, boys. Carlton have lost 23 of their last 24 night matches. So there's a little good little... You wouldn't have found that. Wouldn't find that anywhere else.
23 out of 24.
Mm. How do they go at swimming? Because it's pretty wet over there.
Yeah.
Nige, you've been over there in the last week.
I had a couple of days in Perth midweek. They had 50 mils of rain Tuesday, Wednesday, and 10 to 25 mils forecast both days across the weekend. So I don't know what that does to the contest, but one thing we can definitively say is Carlton aren't a bad wet weather team. They might be horrible after dark, Richie, but I hark back to that round 3 win against Essendon in the wet at the MCG, and I'd put that almost on par with their win over GWS in terms of the effort they've displayed this year. So that, for mine, gives them a little bit more of a chance than they have otherwise.
And they certainly showed more of their better form against Essendon last week. That was a really game competitive effort, and they were in it till 10 minutes to go, and save for one Anthony McDonald tipping Whitty, they could have won that game. Probably would have.
They were, absolutely. But on the flip side, West Coast, how do you take that? A couple of goals up with, I guess, your finals on the line, and you find a way to blow it. Chris Maston, fourth time off the SMS omitted this year. Mm. That's, for a top 10 pick, that's career at the crossroads stuff, surely.
And I've got to congratulate Jamie Cribbs for not getting dropped four times this year.
He should have been dropped four times. It's a good effort to have maintained his spot in the side.
Really good effort, given what he does when the ball goes back the other way. Now they start.
Carpenter's probably stiff, because I thought of the small forwards, he was the one who showed a little bit more last week than Jamie Cripps.
They're pretty big for a wet night in Perth. Darling, Petrie, Kennedy, obviously Vardy in the ruck. It's not a small team, is it?
No, which may lend itself to some of those emergencies being in contention, whether it's Wellingham, Tom Cole or Josh Hill, you may see some of them come in. Obviously, Matt Prittis is the one who you'd imagine is going to relish the conditions. I think West Coast, have they got one more home game to come after this? So not quite the farewell, but getting quite close to. So he's an important recall, not only in the context of the season, but the conditions. West Coast got to 20-plus points in front midway through the second quarter on Sunday, and you thought, they can control this game from here. St Kilda are able to get a couple of quick goals late in that second quarter, keep themselves in spitting distance of West Coast, and then obviously run them down. They'll be smarting from it. The problem for them is if they go out and win as expected, perhaps on Saturday night, the flat track bully thing's going to come up again, regardless of whether it's 10 or 110 points, but it's simply a game they need to go away and execute. We've mentioned several times on the program over the last few weeks, Carlton have looked tired, but geez, don't they just keep turning up and competing? And you imagine they're going to jump on the plane and think they're a chance to galvanise and do something good on the road.
Yeah, if the weather forecast is right, maybe it's the flak pool bullies. Liam Duggan, I thought last week, did some good things in patches, and he's developing as a player. So he's one of the positives over the last few weeks, I think, from West Coast. Look, I think they win the game, but as you mentioned, it probably doesn't prove too much to us. At least the one thing it does do, it keeps their season alive.
Carlton, they play well. They now actually don't know how to win.
Well, they've lost seven straight. It's seven. I didn't know it was seven. It's seven straight.
And the same last year where they won games in the middle of the year and then really fell away. It's second year in a row it's happened.
These are the few of these games they really could have won, should have won, but they've just lost the understanding of how to win a game. And I noticed on the weekend, there's a lot put on Levi Casbolt. Gee, he tired noticeably in that last quarter. Not the goal that he missed, but a couple of efforts as Carlton tried to get the ball out of the back line were found wanting. And it can be a bit of a gallop to get up to the wing on that Subiaco. So,
big gallop.
Yeah. Don't know whether he'll be covering the ground in the requisite manner. Keep an eye on Charlie Curnow's development. He's encouraging. Matthew Wright's a little star. Love watching him play.
Dennis Armfield announced his retirement during the week, so he gets a few more goes at it before the end of the year. He's been a pretty solid citizen, hasn't he? For a Western Australian who came over at a really tough time for the footy club, and I think he's been a pretty good clubman from everything that you hear.
Huge
the boys love him.
On and off field contribution, yep. And now involved with their AFL women's team as well. So tip Elliot to him.
And kept a spot on a list for longer than people thought he would on the basis of giving it his best and getting the most out of himself.
Exactly.
You can't ask for any more than that. You know who I liked last week for the Blues? I liked Pickett off the half-back line. I want to just keep watching him as a defender.
Well, look, he was picked four in his draft at GWS, came in underdone. Perhaps work ethic and the tank's been the question mark on him. He spun his wheels at the Northern Blues through the course of the year where they're, I think, trying to really teach him to work and push through the pain barrier and gain that aerobic endurance that's required to match the skills that he's got when the game's in his vicinity. He's done some pretty highlight reel filling things in the VFL this year, so there'll be hope that what he's showing, I guess, now in some glimpses finally can be something that springboards his career into 2018 and beyond.
And Kennedy, he's the best foot forward in the comp. Taking on the precocious Liam Jones will be an interesting battle. Hopefully the rain stays away and we can see who the better man is. Any last observations, Richie?
Well, I'm just going to throw this another total points, match points, especially it makes a lot of sense now with the weather forecast, because Carlton, seven of the last eight matches at Domain have been incredibly low scoring. They've got unders, which is set at 156. So if it is going to rain like we have forecast, or as the Bureau of Meteorology has forecast, get on the unders, 156 points, and that will get you $1.90.
156? West Coast are going to have to score most of those. I mean, Carlton's going to try and win it 60 to 59, aren't they?
You think so? That
sounds like a good observation. Eagles for mine.
West Coast.
Eagles.
Yeah, this could be played in the middle of the Atlantic and it would still be the Eagles.
No, they're not that good.
Yeah, but it's Carlton.
They're competitive, though, Richie, and that's what gives them a puncher's chance.
I'll tell you, Carlton played...
Wouldn't it like to be Adam Simpson if they got rolled, though?
You wouldn't, but that team's...
We might have two in 2 weeks.
That team is imbalanced.
No.
That team's not right, that West Coast team. They've really got to inject some speed, some youth and some optimism.
Some leadership would help too, I think. Shannon Hearn is a great player, but I think outside of that, they don't have guys who put their hand up when the game's going the other way and say, hang on, this isn't happening, and force themselves on the contest.
McGovern's always a factor. He was a factor even late last week.
He didn't have too many mates. That was the problem.
No, he has. Quite right. Josh Kennedy's a ripper. And then you start searching. We move on to Sunday and Melbourne and the Saints.
League teams for Alan Mance. Driving satisfaction since 1978. Call 1-800-ALAN-MANCE. Melbourne.
It's a grand old flag. It's a high flag.
St Kilda.
When the Saints go marching in, oh, when the Saints go marching in.
Andrew Marr and David Schwartz will be there, and the emotional demon Schwartz will be offset by Nick Del Santo and Danny Frawley in special comments. Brett Anderson to try and create some... Well, he's a...
Boo!
He's trying to bring it back for the Demons, so there's...
It's going to be an interesting one on Sunday, isn't it, there's that call team?
There's numbers for both, and Rowan Connolly will be part of a big preview. Now, this is a classic case of one chair left, two people competing, musical chairs. When the music stops, one of them can bow out. Melbourne and the Saints, let's have the ins and outs and the extended benches, please. Brett, Melbourne supporter, former St Kilda employee, Anderson.
For Melbourne, the ins, Mitch Hannon, Angus Brayshaw, Billy Stretch, Sam Wiedemann and Josh Wagner. Out goes Sam Frost and Christian Salem, both omitted. The extended interchange benches, Watts, Brayshaw, Stretch, Wiedemann, Wagner, Harms and Maynard. The St Kilda ins and outs. In for St Kilda is Tom Hickey, Jack Loney, Sam Gilbert and Dan McKenzie. Out goes Nick Riewoldt with concussion. A big out there for the Saints. The interchange bench there for the Saints is Hickey, Akers, Loney, Gilbert, Stevens, White and Dan McKenzie.
Some hard heads back in for Melbourne.
Well, they need it after last week.
Angus Brayshaw, it's just great to see that he's back. I mean, it's a great football story to see that he's back playing.
And was dominant in the VFL from all reports against Sandringham on Sunday. So he's earned his chance as well.
It's just a great sign. Look, I'll have first crack at this and I go back to the first game of the year and I'm still sort of in the aftershock of how Max Gawn took hold of that game. Now, that was against Hickey and Longer will be sterner opposition, but I think Gawn is circling around.
Do they play both ruckmen?
No.
Seeing they've brought Tom Hickey in?
Never. With Max Gawn, you saw his first half last week against Mummy before he got clipped, and he did it against Paddy Ryder and got a bit sore in the second half. He's circling a three-vote match-winning commanding performance, and I fear it might be on Sunday as a St Kilda fan, but as a footy fan, I love Max Gawn, the Ormond boy, and look forward to his return. We know what we get from Melbourne's midfield. It's inside strong, outside questionable. It's always going to be that way if you've got Viney, Nathan Jones and Clayton Oliver. Angus Brayshaw goes more to the inside than the outside if he does play, so it's important that they can release a bit of run through the likes of Neil Bullen maybe a bit of Billy Stretch. You tell me, Bretto, where does the run come from?
It's got to come off the flanks, and I think that's where Melbourne's strength has been, and also through their ball movement. So they aren't a quick team, but they are a quick ball movement team when they are playing at their very best. We saw that in round one. So their speed comes from Garlett, obviously, when he does push up and plays the squirt through the middle, but also off Hunt from halfback. Billy Stretch can add some speed on the outside, but aside from that, they are a little bit one-paced through midfield, and that is an area I think St Kilda are a little bit the same as well. They don't have that absolute burst on the outside. Just interestingly enough, the last home and away win for Melbourne against St Kilda was back in 2006, the year they did beat them in a final at the G. So talking about wins at the MCG, and no player for either side was actually playing that day. It was that long ago. Saints' record at the MCG recently, they've won their last four.
Remarkable. Very good. It goes against St Kilda everything last four. You'd expect.
I know, St Kilda plays well there.
Yep, won their last four, wins of 9 points, 71 points, 29 and 37. Because everyone thinks St Kilda, under the roof, don't play well at the G. Well, their recent record there is really good, and I think it's going to really suit them on the weekend, especially if there's a little bit of rain. Melbourne's last couple of weeks, really disappointing when it comes to windy football. That won't be so windy at the MCG on the weekend, but they didn't learn much in terms of the speed of their ball movement into the wind. They continued to play fast, and GWS kept on getting them on the transition going the other way. Hopefully they've learnt their lesson this week. I'm going to go with Melbourne in a close one just because I think overall they've got a better spread of talent. The question for me is Melbourne's really struggling to translate inside 50s into goals. Their scores, I think they're ranked last in the competition in the last 5 or 6 weeks for translating inside 50s to goals. And if they're going to beat St Kilda on the weekend, they're going to have to make the most of their opportunities. And they need a big game from Jack Watts. His last 3 weeks have been subpar.
Horrendous.
Now, I'll tell you, there are three St Kilda players. If they get freedom of movement and space, then St Kilda will invariably win the game.
Sinclair will be one.
No, Sinclair. I don't want to name them.
Simon Goodwin, listen.
Look, Dylan Roberton is a fantastic player, but he will compete manfully. He was wonderful last week. But give him an extra few yards to turn a mark or a possession into run, and he's also a very good mover with a long penetrating kick. So he has to be locked down on. I mean, he will still work hard defensively, but it's when you give him space that he can really bust you open. And that's how Shane Savage plays. And again, Shane Savage is valuable if given room to move. And he can be damaging and has been.
They've started to use them in better positions because if you get him caught deep in defence, that's where he's really vulnerable and he won't compete as much as what you want him to. But if you can get him going the other way and make the most of his ball use and run, you're 100% right.
And St Kilda has a player in that back line that if he's not either closely attended or given an opponent that requires his attention, he will deny Melbourne a lot of ball, and that's Jake Carlisle. Now, Jake Carlisle can be played two ways. He can be played either with a key forward that demands attention or with a key forward to stop him. But a sort of, let me tell you, I reckon he'll want to go to Jack Watts, and Jack Watts needs to have his wits about him when playing on Carlisle, because if he lets Carlisle hive off, and then a lot of Melbourne attacks will be thwarted at the first offing. He's a beautiful reader of the game, only found out when forced to defend man-on-man manfully. So it's up to the Demons to find that man.
Jeffy Garlett's record against the Saints prior to round one hadn't been great, so they're going to need a bounce-back game from him. Only the three possessions last week. I think Mitch Hannon's a big back in, big end of that team as well. They really missed his work at half-forward last week, and his ability to lay a tackle, that's something that's dropped off from a Melbourne point of view, is that defensive pressure inside forward 50. Ball's coming out far too easily, so they need Hannon and Garlett back at their defensive best to lock it in, because some of those St Kilda defenders can be caught out, obviously, with ball in hand.
Now, I trust Gorn to play a really good game, and Tom McDonald, I think we'll get Nathan Brown, and I think he's too big for him. I'm going to tip the D's.
Interesting where McDonald played structurally. No Nick Revolt for me. St Kilda lose their conduit, I think, to possession chain and kick a winning score, so Melbourne.
Do you know what Melbourne's problem is?
Melbourne?
They do not like being favourites. They just, every time they lure you in, they play some good footy, you get behind them, they let you down. This is another little stat. 12 outings as favourite. They 10 times they have lost.
That's interesting, isn't it?
So, and then you've got to take the Saints' record, 14 of the last 15 against Melbourne. So I'm going to back them, even though the punt with 80% of the cash has been on Melbourne. I'm going to go against the punters. I'm going to go against you lads and go the Saints.
Does that feel right as a Demons fan?
Yep.
And that's
They're the easiest team in the comp to pick when it comes to your footy tipping. There's one week where I've got them wrong this year. I think you generally, if you know your own team, and a lot of Melbourne supporters do, they're a pretty easy team to tip.
Well, that makes you a footy...
And I'm going to tip them this week.
Melbourne. Yep. Yeah, I'm tipping them. That makes you a footy professor, so you'll enjoy the next venue, the University of Tasmania Stadium, Sunday Arvo, Hawthorn v North.
League teams for Alan Mads, driving satisfaction since 1978. Call 1-800-ALAN-MADS. Hawthorn. North Melbourne.
So join in the chorus and sing it one and all. Join in the chorus.
It's Sunday afternoon, 3:20 in Tassie. Oh, it's a good song, but we've got to end it because I want to hear the ins and the extended interchange benches and any outs from Nigel Carmody.
Ins for the Hawks, Luke Hodges, Kurt Heatherly and Cade Stewart. The extended interchange is Taylor DeRay, Will Langford, Tay Miles, Kurt Heatherly, Connor Glass, Cade Stewart and Brendan Whitecross. Interesting in the Box Hill team with Jagger O'Meara named to play VFL this week in the broadcast game against Essendon.
I heard he's got number 80.
For the Kangaroos, the famous number 80 at Box Hill. For the Roos, ins, Jed Anderson, Jai Simpkin, Kane Turner and Cameron Zerha. The out at this stage omitted is Nick Larkey, extended bench, Anderson, Nathan Rovat, Aaron Mullett, Jai Simpkin, Kane Turner, Josh Williams and Cameron Zerha. Ben Brown has been named in the starting 18 to play after that concussion Saturday night.
Just a little interesting one there. We're just talking about Melbourne and St Kilda. A bit of mail floating through that Jack Watts might be dropped and won't be part of that final team. So he is in the team at the moment, but if he's out, that's a big statement.
No Watts, no Hogan. Trouble.
No worries. Tom McDonald's going to be the problem, not Jack Watts.
Hawthorn, North Melbourne. Both sides. Obviously, Hawthorn's season finished last week, with that loss. last week. But they've had a really strong second half of the year, but they go back down to a place where they generally play really well. Obviously, the last time they were down there, they had that draw against GWS where they could have really stolen the points there in the last minute. I love Luke Hodge back into the team. I tipped them to beat Richmond last week. I was really disappointed with the way that they played, but I think Hodge back in provides them a lot more strength across halfback. And against the North side, who, that was a pretty ordinary game on Saturday night, wasn't it? After a pretty impressive performance the week before against the Demons. I just think that Hawthorn, in the end, they're going to be too good down in Tassie once again for North Melbourne, who have brought in some youth. Good to see Jed Anderson back into the squad.
They've brought in some speed, thank
absolutely.
Goodness.
And Cam Zerha across our forward, Kane Turner and Jai Simpkins. So expect them to spend a lot of time in the forward half putting pressure on that Hawthorn back six. But just based on Hodge back in, their form when he's been in the side in the second half of the year, I just think Hawthorn will win the game.
Hawthorn for mine.
Yeah, Hawks, pretty simple, clear cut for mine.
Yep. Let's move on to the final game of the round, Port Adelaide and Collingwood. It's Power versus the Pies, and you can power up with some pies tomorrow if you want. Free. Just come into 473 Swan Street. We've got the Routley pies, Routley Bakery pies. They're bloody good. And they're on from midday till they are no more, and there's quite a lot of them. We've got pie warmers full. Say good day. If you get in right on 12, KB will put the sauce on for you.
Is there a range? Do we get a range of flavours tomorrow? Or just the
beautiful meat pies. They're beautiful meat spot pies. On.
I'm a steak and curry man myself.
Well, bring your own curry, mate, because these
anything
are the,
that's free, I'll take.
These are the Routley meat pies, and they are absolutely, they really are very good. They're a proper
pie. I had one last week. It was super.
Yeah, no problems with the pies, but maybe there will be on Sunday.
League teams for Alan Mance, driving satisfaction since 1978. Call 1-800-ALAN-MANCE. Port Adelaide.
We've got the power to win, power to rule. Come on, Port Adelaide aggression.
Collingwood.
Well, this one's the twilight game. It's in Adelaide. As Port Adelaide look to bounce back, it's their third game in a row at Adelaide Oval. And they, into the side, add Dan Houston, Dougal Howard, Chad Wingard, Jake Need, Matthew White, Riley Bonner, Brendan Archie. They've omitted Aaron Young, Angus Monfries, Jackson Trengove, and Jack Hompsch is out with a hip. Their interchange is Sam Powell pepper pie. And I actually like a pepper steak pie.
Yep, me too.
Jake Need, which is what you have to do to the dough before you make the pie. Carl Amon, Matthew White, Aidan Johnson, Riley Bonner and Brendan Archie. Whilst for Collingwood, into the side comes Mason Cox and then a couple of sons of guns. Callum Brown and Josh Dacos, James Aish.
There's another son of a gun.
Team, yeah, a nephew of more of a gun.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, his dad was a good player, though.
His dad was handy, but I think we know of the father that never came. Tim Broomhead and Josh Smith. I'm sure their dads are good blokes as well. Out go Brady Grundy suspended, Daniel Wells with a quad, and Levi Greenwood with that knee. Interchange extended, Jared Blair, Matthew Scharenberg, James H, Tom Phillips, Josh Dacos, Tim Broomhead, and Josh Smith. That means Callum Brown is definitely playing. And how do you see the game rolling? First of all, I need the odds from Sportsbet, and I've got a feeling without a couple of their key players, it might be... Even though Port were terrible last week, it might heavily sway in their favour. Sportsbet odds, please, Richie.
Spot on. Too much on the line for Port Adelaide. They're not going to come out with that garbage again. You wouldn't have thought. The punters don't think so. 80% of the cash has brought Port Adelaide into $1.37, while the Pies, friendless, $3.15. We've hardly taken a cent on them. No one wants a bar of them.
Well, how's it going to roll, Nigel?
Finey, record against top eight teams. Collingwood, 2 wins from 9 starts this year, but Port Adelaide, 1 win from 7. This is their issue.
Well, they're pretenders.
Collingwood aren't in the 8, though.
We spoke about this about Port Adelaide against the game against Richmond. We thought Richmond going over there in form were a chance because Port had beaten up on lowly teams, and then against the genuine contenders or people effectively in their region of the ladder, they struggled. Now, Collingwood, form-wise at the moment, they've got themselves to 8 wins in the season. They've got a percentage over 100 now. What they're dishing up is palatable at the moment. So they're going to be able to go over there and give Port at least something to have to beat. And that's
read the out column.
The out column for Collingwood, yep, is the issue.
That's the issue.
Personnel.
Because I'm with you 100%. If they play, if those three play, or even two of them, I'd be tipping Collingwood.
Wells,
but with those out, we've seen the record with Wells and without Wells. It's vastly different. I just think that based on that, and I think Port Adelaide, from everything I'm hearing over there, they are filthy.
Scathing.
Absolutely filthy, yep, after last week. And they've seen that at the selection table with Monfries out, but Trengove, a massive one, out of contract. I go with Port, and I go with Port by at least 5 goals.
Now, I'm going to tell you, this one, for me, the real interest in this game is how Mason Cox goes in the ruck. I reckon he can ruck. We'll see what sort of tank he's got. He's got no chance of rucking when Grundy's there, and he could become a valuable commodity if he can run out these next two games in the ruck. Because I'm telling you, the bloke has he's got real skills in the ruck. I'm really fascinated by that. Port Adelaide to win. For me, the big watch is Cox. Before we say Port Adelaide?
Port.
Before we say adios, Richie,
yep,
what does this all mean for premiership odds?
Well, here's another little stat. I actually got this from our good friend Nathan Brown today. If you had backed the Swans on May 1st for the Premiership, you could have got them at $126. That was, of course, on the back. They lost the first six. They have now been the best backside of the last 2 months into $6. And we actually have had a few punters jump on them at $126. Your favourite, though, still the Crows, $3.25. They were $4.50 before the showdown. GWS, they've come into $4.50 from $5. But Sydney, the big movers, and Richmond, $11 before touching up Hawthorn, $7. While the Cats...
What's happening, Geelong?
They're gone. They're out to $12. They were $7 before the Friday, the game against Sydney, out to $12.
So it injuries massive for them.
So, yeah, punters have ridden them off. Gone.
Richie, great to have you in. We'll catch up with you... Oh, pardon me. We'll catch up with you next week. And, of course, you're here thanks to Sportsbet. And once again, if your team goes 24 points up, Sportsbet pays you out. Conditions apply. Gamble responsibly and have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Gamaverdian from Dental Lounge. Would you like to increase your success, whether it be personal success or career success? Studies have proven that enhancing your smile can enhance your quality of life in every way. I've seen hundreds of patients for porcelain veneers and smile makeovers with amazing results. Simply tap the banner and book your free consultation and I'll be happy to show you. And best of all, ask about our interest-free payment plans. Dental Lounge, Macquarie Street. Create success with your smile.